he ministers here whenever he's in the country. And he's part of an amazing team that are planting life centres throughout the world. And the one we looked at there was the one at Beirut, which is at the moment right in the centre of everything that's happening in the Middle East. And they're picking up hundreds of refugees who are going across the border. They're servicing them with food, clothing and bedding. They're looking after those that are fleeing from the terrors that they're experiencing. And it's really, if you want to support the work that they're doing, I mean, they're doing an amazing work. And we really want to give you the opportunity to give to them. Now, the reason why we're asking you to give and not collect and give is because if we do that and we say we're supporting something abroad, the bank wants to know what we're doing. But if you do it directly, it just makes it much easier for us. So if you want to know how to do that, just come and talk to me at the end. But they're doing an amazing work at the moment. They're picking up so many pieces from the Middle East. They're doing an amazing job. And those of you that know Keith know his heart and you know his work. And he's got an amazing energy for Kingdom and does amazing things. Just have a look at his website, Mutual Faith Ministries, if you want to know more. But if you want to support in any way, just come and talk to me. So I'm going to speak this morning just for a few minutes. And I really want to emphasize that our heart here is for each of us to grow in faith, to grow in who we are in God, to actually not just stay where we are, but to move on in all that God has got for us. And part of what we're doing this year is talking about discipleship. We are all disciples. We are all journeying and walking together. No matter how long you've been on the way, you're in it. And we want to see you grow. Our heart is to see you move and grow and develop in God. And to do things that you thought you would never do. It's so exciting when you do something for the first time and you thought, I never thought I would do that. And yet in God, there is that potential to be doing new things all the time. And looking back and going, this has just been an amazing journey. We sang a song this morning, Your Kingdom Come is what we're living for. We want to see the kingdom of God here in this town, in this nation, in this world. The kingdom of God is the answer to all that's going on. And we've got to somehow, as his disciples, display the kingdom of God in our daily living. And so this is what we're focusing our attention on this year. God's intention for each of us, so you can apply this to yourself, is to bring us to completion. It's to do something in us that completes us. He's always working in us to transform us so that our life is full and overflowing. Jesus came that you might have life and have it to the fullness that it is possible to have. That's a huge statement, isn't it? And so often as believers, we don't live in the fullness of what God has got for us. And so through our discipleship course this year, we want to enable you to actually tap into this flow of the fullness of God and what he's got for us as individuals. No matter what you think of yourself, and that can be positive, it can be negative, God wants to be part of creating a new you who is empowered to live a full and complete life. That's God's plan for each of us. He wants us to be empowered to live a fulfilled and complete life. And as we look at the progression of our walk with God to maturity, there are times when our thinking is going to be challenged. Do you like your thinking to be challenged? I do. It's good. Because so often we get stuck in our own ways of thinking. And we need God to break in and challenge the way we think about ourselves and about God himself. I recently saw a video or a program. It was about a boundary dispute. I don't know whether you've ever had one of those with your neighbour. That's my line, and you're not coming over it. You see, it causes a lot of problems, doesn't it? These boundary disputes. And so there was a guy who had a house, and he thought his boundary, he believed, this is the words he used, I believe my boundary extended into next door's land, because that's what I believe. I've lived here for 60 years, and I believe that that is the truth. And there was something of a conflict, as you can imagine. If somebody put a fence across your garden and said, that's my land, there will be a little bit of conflict. And so it came to court. It came to court. And the judge said, what evidence have we got of where this boundary line lies? And so out came the documents or the deeds that showed exactly where the boundary line was. And this guy who believed he was correct, who believed all his life that this land was his, the truth was that it wasn't. That the truth document, the deed, the land registry had showed the truth. And in our discipleship journey, we can believe things about ourselves and we can believe things about God that sometimes fit in with our own values, fit in with who we are, but we've always got to go back to the book of evidence. We've always got to evidence what we are thinking and believing, and that's where we have the Bible, because that's where we discover the truth of who God is. That's where we find out the reality of God and his purpose and his plans for our lives. Then we've got to believe it. Then we've got to put our faith in what God is saying. And that's where the challenge comes. Because sometimes we get so ingrained in who we are, in what we believe, that when the challenge comes, we find it difficult to move on. We find it difficult to put our faith and our trust in the reality of the truth of God. It says in 2 Corinthians 9, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. If you can flick that up, because there we go. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. What a great statement that is, that we don't understand the things that God has got prepared for each of us. It's beyond our understanding. It's not within us. But God is saying that there is something greater in me than you can ever believe. And we've got to put our faith in that. We've got to trust that God has got things for us that are greater than what we can imagine or think. Numbers 23:19 says this, God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? So the promises of God, it says in the word, are yes and amen, aren't they? When he promises something, it will be fulfilled. He does not change his mind. Now, we might change our mind, but God is saying the truth is that God never changes his mind. What he has written, he will not change. And so what we're talking about this morning, about transformation, about our purpose in God, his purpose for us will not change. Whether we choose to believe that or not is down to our walk with him. Our Christian walk is about how we understand and access the promises of God. How we see God and put our faith in his designed process. How do you understand God working in your life this morning? I want you to have an open heart, because God wants to challenge some of our thinking about his journey with us. See, we're talking here about supernatural stuff. We're talking about spiritual stuff. We're not talking just about working it out in our own mind, but we want the Holy Spirit to minister to us this morning. We want a breakthrough in our hearts so that we see God in a new way. So the process that we're talking about over this coming year is that it says we must know and love God. Do you know him? Do you love him? So when we talk about knowing God, we're just not talking about the intellectual knowledge of who God is. We're talking about that breakthrough, that spiritual breakthrough, which we get when we allow him to work in our lives and we come to salvation, we come to an understanding that God is living in our hearts. Do you love him? We all like being loved, don't we? It's wonderful. But sometimes when you have to love others, when you have to love God, it becomes a little bit more complicated, a bit more of a challenge. And I want to say at this point that as believers, we can lose our love for God. I don't know whether there's anybody in here this morning who is just going through the motions of faith, who is struggling with their relationship with God. We can lose our love for God. And that makes our discipleship journey very difficult. We go through the motions, but our heart isn't in it. And I would encourage you to resolve that issue today. you know him? Do you know you're loved? But equally as important, do you love him? Jesus said, didn't he, that if you love me, you'll do my commands. You'll do what I'm leading you to do, that you'll be obedient. Resolve that issue today. So that's step one, and that's always a challenge because it's a stretch to keep loving, especially when we're going through hard times. To love God can feel very, very difficult, but we've got to make a decision about loving God. Resolve it today. Lisa spoke last week about setting us free from our past. We've all got one. We've all got a past. Sometimes it's a difficult past. Sometimes it's a past that's hurt us. We can come to God with our brokenness, our habits, our failures, our addictions. But through Christ, who overcame sin and death, he can restore us to the fullness of life he wants us to have. We can be free. We can be free from our past. We can be forgiven and we can forgive. We can be made anew. It tells in the word that we are new creations. Once we begin to love God, we are a new creation, and he grows us, he develops us day by day by day. He's always creating new things in our heart. If you've got stuff from the past that needs dealing with, Jesus is the one to go and talk to. He's the one that empowers us. He's the one that makes a way. He's the one that heals us. Take it to him. I just want to read from Exodus 16, verse 1 to 3. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt." They were sat round pots of meat and ate all the foods we wanted. "But you've brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." There is a real temptation. There is a real draw of our past. Even when we've been set free, we can sometimes want to go back to where we were because we felt comfortable in that. And you wouldn't imagine that after 400 years of slavery, 400 years of just being told what to do all the time and being set free from that, that you would want to go back. Yet there was something about the children of Israel that said, at least we got fed every day. At least we kind of knew we were going to be fed. We were going to have food. Forget about the freedom, forget about the promises that God has got for us, forget about the promised land that is coming our way, let's go back. And that's always a real challenge to us as believers because we can be comfortable. You know, as difficult as it is in our bondage, in our past, it's in us. And sometimes when we're trying to move away from it, it's uncomfortable and it can be challenging. And sometimes we can go, actually, I want to go back to there. But if we go back to there, we can't fulfill the promises and purposes of God in our lives. That's a real challenge. And we have to have a determination in our heart to follow the call of God, to put our trust in him, to love him, and be prepared to stand firm in what we believe. God gives us a purpose, which is what I'm going to talk about this morning. And God makes a difference in us so that we can make a difference to those who we live with. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We live our faith by demonstrating God in the way that we live. We're going to look at that next week. The challenge for us as followers of Christ is whether we believe what God has got for us or not. We have a responsibility to work out our own salvation. Are we going to trust in God's plan? Or are we going to work it out without him? What a decision that is. Am I going to trust God or am I just going to go my own way? He calls it a narrow way in the Bible. The way with Jesus is a narrow way. It's a hard way at times where we have to choose the hard things, where we have to deal with some issues that are hard and we have to stand firm on our faith. Following Jesus is not an easy option. It's a hard way. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Each of us has got something to do. It's an amazing thought that before the foundation of the earth, God knew all about us. Before we were born, he had a purpose for our lives, he had a plan for our lives, and we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That means to do God's work, to do the things that God has prepared for each of us to do. And in doing the things that God has prepared for us, we find fulfillment in our purpose for him. We will be completed. We will be satisfied with life when we begin to do the good works, the things that God has planned for us. As we read the Word of God and we look at his promises for those who put their faith in him, there are some amazing, amazing promises. And many of us will have responded to those promises, but there are things that can happen in our lives that actually stop us following. They're called dream killers. I don't know whether you have dreams in God, but it's so easy for them to be killed. Many of us have been on a journey for many years, and we have to be honest with ourselves and with God about where you stand with him at this moment. Honesty is so important with our relationship with God. And as we look to the future and what God has got planned for us, we can be excited about what God's got for us, but we can also be hindered by a number of things. So I don't know whether you've ever had any unfulfilled expectations, either in the natural or the spiritual, but it's a dampener on life when you expected something to happen and it hasn't happened. It's really difficult at times to deal with that. And very often in our spiritual journey, our desires in God haven't worked out as we expected. Usually, they are things that we want, not what God has got planned. See, if God plans it and purposes it, it will happen. But so often we make our own plans and add God onto it at the end. And then it doesn't happen and we can be kind of, well, what's all this about then? What's God doing in my life? And we can become disillusioned with what we thought God had got planned for us. So as we think about our purposes in God, what he has planned for our lives, we've got to hook into what he's got planned for us, not what we've got planned for him. Sometimes we get it the wrong way around. Our life can be hindered by doubt. A big killer of faith. It's the opposite of faith, is doubt. We listen to others, we listen to ourselves, and we listen to the enemy. But we've got to go back to this word of truth, haven't we? We've got to go back to the word and find out what the truth is about God, what God has planned for our lives. And I think for many of us who've been on the way for a long time, we believe that we are the finished product and we can't be changed. It's as good as it's going to get. I've said this quite often. In our Christian life, we can reach a point where we think, this is it. That's as good as it's going to get. It's not going to get any better than this. God's done everything in me that he's going to do. And it just stops us at that moment from growing in our relationship with him, in growing with his purposes for our lives. If we believe today that we are the finished product, it is a lie. I'll tell you that. It's a lie either from yourself, from others, or from the enemy. God never finishes with us. He's always moving us on. We are changed and transformed, and we are created new day by day by day. God wants to keep on creating new things in our heart. So those things can stop us in our journey with him, with his purposes for our lives. The scripture we're using to underpin our discipleship journey is the children of Israel being set free from slavery and moving to a new purpose in the promised land. Okay, it illustrates that God takes us from the slavery of sin. He sets us free. He mends us, heals us, deals with our past, and gives us a new purpose in him. See, the purpose of the children of Israel in Egypt was to make bricks. It was to be slaves. But that wasn't ultimately God's purpose for the children of Israel. He wanted to set them free. He wanted to place them in the promised land where their purpose would be to live a life of provision, a life where they had everything that they needed, where there was nobody directing what they did other than God himself. And so he gives us a new purpose when we walk with him. One of the words that we use in our worship and in our Christian language is sanctified. It sounds a very religious word, doesn't it, sanctified? But if we break it down into really what we're trying to understand by sanctified, it's we are sanctified for a purpose. We are given a purpose when we come to God. We are sanctified by God to have a purpose in him. Our old purpose for life, our aims and objectives, the things that we did, are now superseded when God breaks into our hearts and begins a new work in us. Our old life is gone, a new one is coming, and that's what we're sanctified to do. We're sanctified to be God's servants, to fulfill his purposes in the way that we live. But God needs to change us before he can use us. He needs to deal with the stuff of the past. He needs to deal with who we are. He needs to prepare us for this service in him. He wants to sanctify us so that he can begin to use us. Titus 3 says this: at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. We are saved by grace. We are not saved by anything we have done, but we are saved by the love and grace of our God. So easy to fall into the trap of trying to earn God's favour and to earn his love. God loves us unconditionally. There's nothing you can do that's going to make God love you anymore. And his grace is just this unmerited favour of God where he just pours his grace into our lives. It's a given. We do not have to earn it. But many believers still try to earn God's love by actions. But God's love is given freely. We can work for God because we want to please him, because we want him to love us more. We can read the word, we can pray, we have the wrong motives for many of the things that we do. But it's already given to you. It's already given to you. You just have to receive it and allow it to work in your life. Our default setting as believers is to be more like Jesus. If you want to know what your purpose is, it's to be more like Jesus in the way that we live, in the way that we demonstrate how we live. It's to be more like him. That's ultimately our baseline. It's our default setting for believers. God is always creating and preparing us for his purpose, but many believers want to shortcut this process by doing their own thing. When we allow God to change us, he opens up his purpose for serving us. As a Christian, in my early days, I didn't understand what God was doing with me. It all felt a little bit strange. And at times I fell into the trap of the dream breakers. I thought, God can't do much with me. As you look at yourself, sometimes we can limit what God can do by just judging ourselves. I looked at my abilities and my talents, and they weren't great. I couldn't dance, I couldn't sing, I couldn't play the guitar, I couldn't preach. I thought, what is there for me to do? And so it's so easy to be disillusioned by looking at ourselves. I couldn't see how God could use me. In my 20s or my late teens and early 20s, if you'd have said, I'm doing what I'm doing today, I would have said, no chance, I'm not doing that. I've not got any calling, any abilities whatsoever. But when we begin to understand that God made me as I am, he made each of us as we are, and he gives us what we need. See, when we are called for purpose, when we kind of step out of the boat and we walk towards God, he gives us what we need day by day to fulfill the purpose that he's called us to do. He's not expecting us just to do it all without him. If we do it all without him, then it's of no value whatsoever. He's got to be at the core of everything we do. And when we understand that God has created each of us as individuals, each of us with our own calling, each of us with our own purpose, then it begins to make a little bit of sense that, well, I am who I am. And God created me like this. I might be a little bit odd, as I keep getting told by Linda. You're a bit odd, you. You don't do things the right way. I don't think like Linda, you see, so therefore I am odd. But you've got to understand that we are created as we are. And we might be a little bit odd and a little bit different, a little bit off centre, but God created you as you are. And he can use you as you are, which is an amazing thought, isn't it? But that's the width of God's potential. He can use anybody who comes to him in faith. See, when the children of Israel were set free from slavery, they had to learn to live in freedom. They had to learn to follow God, and they had to learn a new purpose. God had promised a new land where new skills will be needed for new harvests and a new lifestyle. Completely alien to what they were used to. But God was taking them from one place to another. And it took 40 years for them to work it out and become obedient. And then God fulfilled his new purpose in them. God has to do something in us to enable us to have his purpose in our lives. It's so easy to try and do it on our own, but you know, when God is part of this journey, and as human beings, especially living in today's culture, everything is available now. Everything is accessible now. You can make an order online and it comes sometimes the same day, sometimes the next day. We're going, where is it? Whereas when we were young people, it might take a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, but we were okay with that. And we live in a world that everything is almost immediate. And sometimes with God, it's not immediate. It's a process, and we've got to understand that. And sometimes we go through these little hard times because it's part of him growing us. It's part of him dealing with the stuff on the inside and calling us to overcome that in him, putting our trust and our faith in him. And he creates this purpose in our lives. We are not created the same, thank goodness. You wouldn't want many of me about, would you? You wouldn't. I know how difficult and funny I can be at times. And you wouldn't want more than one of me. But we're not created the same. We all have different purposes. And it's so easy to look at somebody and go, I want to be like him. Or I want to do what she's doing. Or I want to be whatever. But in God, he has a designed purpose for you. In the Bible, the illustration is like a body that fits together and each part having a different function. And when the body parts are working in their purpose, the whole body benefits and works seamlessly. If you think about your body, it just does things naturally. It all works together. Different parts of the body don't want to do different things, otherwise we will be in big trouble. But if one part hurts, we know about it, don't we? Whatever part it is, if it's not working properly, we know about it. And so it's good that we're all in the body doing our thing, working in our purpose, and the church, which is the body of Christ, begins to work seamlessly. It begins to have this dynamic where it's working because we're all fulfilling our individual purposes. And one of the challenges is learning how to fit into the body, is to find our purpose. We can want to be something else. You could want to be me. I don't think you would really. But we can want to be somebody else. We want to be somebody, we want more influence, we want more of a say in what's going on. But find your purpose in God, and it says you will be content and you will be fulfilled. So we are saved by grace. God deals with who we are. He sets us free from our past. He creates somebody new. And all our perceived purposes in life are superseded by God's purpose. And we find fulfillment in what we are doing, in what God has called us to do. God is always preparing us for what is to come. No matter where we are in life, no matter where we are in our spiritual journey, God is always preparing for what is to come. So be prepared for God to move you on. Be prepared for God to fulfill his purpose in your life. Be prepared for all the things that have held you back to be set free from those so you can move on in him. God has got a new purpose for each of us. And I just would encourage you to sign up to the discipleship course that we're doing, because together we want to grow. Together we want to find our purpose. We want to understand what that means for us as individuals and move towards what God has called us to do. It's a bit of a journey. But if we want to see the kingdom of heaven on earth, then we've got to be fulfilling our purpose in God. God bless you. May you find your purpose in him. Thank you.